June 20th marks World Refugee Day, a day set aside by the international community to call attention to the plight of millions of refugees and internally displaced people around the globe.
In honor of World Refugee Day, Common Ground is devoting our entire program this week to the wide range of experiences facing refugees, people who show enormous courage and perseverance through often horrible adversity.
The United Nations Refugee Agency, UNHCR, estimates one out of every 300 people on Earth are currently uprooted by conflict, poverty, and famine. Nearly 75% are women and children. Charles Maines offers this portrait of one Afghan family's journey.
Here we go.
Walking cautiously down the gangway at Des Moines International Airport, Zara Amiri and her three sons emerged to greetings of salam, glad you made it, and of course, welcome to Iowa. For Zara, 14-year-old Nakib and his younger brothers, Rafi and Rabi, this evening marks the end of a four-day trek that has taken them to the likes of Islamabad, Dubai, Dublin, and Chicago. Yet in some ways, the journey that brought them here began what must seem for them a lifetime ago. Zara and her children are refugees, people jettisoned from their homeland of Afghanistan, and yet whose lives bitterly mirror the recent tragedies of that country. Zara's husband, Isaac, was a victim of the Afghan Civil War, killed by an errant missile while at work in his mechanic shop in Kabul in 1993. And as ethnic Tajiks, Zara and her family faced increasing levels of harassment and persecution when the Pashtun-led Taliban came to power 3 years later. Moreover, as a woman and a single mother living under the Taliban, Zara says she learned firsthand of the strict Islamic code preferred by the new rulers.
Did they beat her?
She says that her son was sick, so she took her to the hospital. So when she was talking to the doctor, she just, you know, uncovered her face. So she didn't see that there's Talib in the back of her. So when the Talib see that, you know, her face is uncovered, they start beating her. So she said that she kicked her a lot. And she didn't know what happened because she just lay down and
went unconscious.
Not long thereafter, Zara departed with her sons for neighboring Pakistan, where the family took up life in a UN refugee camp. An accomplished seamstress, Zara found a job in a textile sweatshop working 12 to 15 hours a day. Nakib, the oldest son, then just 10, sold shoes on the street. Daily life was a challenge, says Zara, but then she got word of a possible way out.
She said that where she worked in a factory, some people were working there, and they informed her that the UN accepting the form for widows.
3 years and four interviews later, Zara at last heard the news. Her application had been approved. She and her sons were headed to America.
Okay, now we go by orientation.
At Des Moines Refugee Cooperative Ministry, case manager Wang Li takes these newest of Iowans through a dizzying introduction to American life.
But in the United States, you live in a house, you need to pay money, electricity, you need to pay, water, you need to pay. Everything we had to adjust our income, money to pay.
Mr. Li knows well the challenges that face Zara's family. As a refugee arriving to Iowa from Laos in the late 1970s, Mr. Li says he too struggled to adapt to his new home.
I know about the refugee need a lot. I know what they need a lot. Because the refugee, they came here, they're like a little bird. They broke from the egg, they cannot fly, they cannot find something to eat.
The refugee's road to self-sufficiency is, by any standard, a daunting one. Think of it as boot camp Americana. Upon arrival, organizations like the Refugee Cooperative Ministry offer 120 days of financial support for housing and utilities. During that time, the refugee must find a job, learn English, and of course, adapt. It's a process not for the meek, and also not possible without the support of a network of outside volunteers.
For all of us that have been involved, it's just been fascinating. It's so much fun. I mean, we just...
Becky Burroughs coordinates sponsorship of Zara and her family for Christ the King Church in Des Moines. Together with other church members, she's helped Zara's family with everything from booster shots and enrolling in school to attending mosque, shopping, and repairing bicycles. It's rewarding and time-consuming work, says Burroughs, where hand signals and pantomime cross the cultural divide and occasionally reveal the chasm.
Kathy took the boys shopping, and at the Hy-Vee over there near them, you know how you buy those plastic lemons and limes? Well, over there they're like in a kind of a woven basket thing that's green or yellow. It looks like a grenade. And so when they walked in the store that day and the boys saw those, they picked it up and like pulled the pin with their teeth like they were going to throw it like it was a grenade. Our kids wouldn't think about that being a grenade because that's not in their experience, you know? But to these kids, you know, they're on the streets. They know what a grenade looks like, you know? And Kathy's like, no, no, in America, no grenade. No grenade, you know? So then, and they weren't going to throw it, but, you know, they were pretending, doing their little pantomiming kind of thing. You think their whole experience of life is so different than, we can't even imagine. You just can't fathom.
Despite everything, Zara's family counts among the lucky. Of the world's estimated 19-plus million refugees, just 1% are admitted to third countries for resettlement. Moreover, the numbers accepted in the U.S. have dwindled dramatically in the wake of September 11, 2001, and the subsequent changes in the security requirements. In 2002, U.S. refugee admissions fell to fewer than 30,000 persons. And of the 70,000 refugees approved for entry into the U.S. by President Bush this year, first quarter figures show admittance rates again far off pace. Critics of the trend say, should it continue, the U.S. threatens to further punish those already victimized by war, famine, and drought. Moreover, says Wesley McMahon of the Des Moines Refugee Cooperative Ministry, reneging on a pledge to accept refugees contradicts that loftiest of American ideals, the belief in starting anew.
We're finally giving them a home of their own again, a place that they can call their own 1,000 square feet in the world that has a door on it and a key that they have. And they're free to do whatever they want to do. But that's the thing about refugees. Once they get here, they're really not refugees anymore. They're actually Americans in training.
In Zara's case, there is perhaps a choice. Yet she says despite missing her parents and extended family in Afghanistan, she's now drawn to the peace that comes with knowing her children are safe from war, landmines, and as much as possible, the unpredictable.
She says that the people who are going back to their country, it's okay. But she doesn't want to go back to their country because of their, you know, her kids. They're going to school, and school is very good in the United States. So that's the only reason she's not going back to Afghanistan. But she says that's her homeland. She will return one day, but she doesn't know when.
Once I had everything, I gave it up for the shoulder of your driveway and the woods I've never felt. So for you, I came this far across the tracks.
This is the refugee and immigrant's refrain. German, Slovaks, Hmong, and Latino, all at one point newcomers to Iowa, they gradually became an integral part of its landscape, towns, cities, and schools. Indeed, unless you look close, you may not notice them at all.
You were wandering out on the hills of Iowa, and you
For Common Ground, I'm Charles Maines.